Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to go?
Yeah.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We have a great show for you today, and if you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857, and we'll be here till about 8:30 tonight. And tonight, we're going to talk about Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury is now official. What? What happened to Fury Joshua? B, what happened to it? That was supposed to be the next fight. Beeb, you've been telling us. You've been telling us.
They took us for a ride.
They took us for a ride, Beeb. We've been played. Beeb.
You fell for the old okey-doke.
We've been played. I zigged when I said I should have zagged.
That's right.
What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Manny Pacquiao and Errol Spence is now official. You talk about something coming out of left field. That was it. But first, we get started with the undisputed 140-pound championship. Jose Ramirez versus Josh Taylor. Josh Taylor wins a unanimous decision over Jose Ramirez by the scores of 114-112 on all cards. Everybody saw it exactly the same, except, of course, me, who had a 116-110 for Taylor. Taylor knocked Ramirez down in the sixth and seventh. You know what? Let me tell you what. He hit him with that shot in the sixth, and I didn't really catch it. It was I thought it was like a flash knockdown. Let me tell you what, when I saw the replay of it, that was no flash knockdown. He hit him right on the point of the chin, and he was hurt when he got up. In the seventh round, he got knocked down again. Looked like, I think it was an uppercut. He was catching him with that uppercut all night, man. You know, all I kept hearing this week leading into the fight was how tough Ramirez is, how rugged Ramirez is, how much dog Ramirez has, and that would be the difference. But nobody talked about Josh Taylor, man. This is a guy who couldn't see. His eye was swollen shut against Regis Prograis. He won the fight. It was swollen early. He won the fight. So I know he's got some dog in him. I know he's got some grit, too. Everybody kept saying that Ramirez is going to wear him down and knock him out late or stop him late or stop him in the mid-rounds. Son, look,
guilty,
man. Josh
guilty.
Taylor ain't never been down, period. Amateur, pro, whatever. He's never been down. So I was kind of like a lot of people, like, you know, I'm like, this isn't going to be a walkover fight, man. I mean, this guy can fight. That being said, man, I don't discount Ramirez, that's for sure. But Ramirez had his spots. Listen, on the last on one judge's card, he won the last four rounds. The other two judges' card, he won three of the last four rounds. On my card, I gave three of the last four rounds to Ramirez. He did a good job coming back. I think Taylor coasted a little bit toward the end. But in the end, man, I don't think there was any dispute in who won this fight, you know. So, Beeb, what were your thoughts on this? I mean, I think that everybody probably had Josh Taylor winning the fight today. Last week, they all had Ramirez. Now you had Ramirez.
And, I picked Ramirez.
Yeah.
Popovich. No, I did.
You had Ramirez. What were your thoughts on the fight?
I'm going to guess, before I get to that, I'm going to guess the rounds you gave Taylor and tell me if I'm
sure. Right. Yeah. Let me bring it up here.
Three, four, 11, 12.
I gave the fourth round to Taylor, third round to Ramirez. Let's see here. I gave the 10th round to Taylor, 9, 11, and 12 I gave to Ramirez.
9, 11, and 12. Oh, okay. All right. Wow. It's weird how the score, the rounds were so varied when you ask people their scorecards, because most people scored the fight like you did. and they thought the scores were way too close. I actually scored it identical to the judges.
Yeah.
I
didn't have too much of a problem with that. I didn't have too much of an issue.
But if I gave Taylor the Taylor the second and the fifth, which I thought were swing rounds, then I could have had it the same way you did. My big thing going into this fight, I thought Ramirez. I didn't think Taylor didn't have the dog in him. I just thought Ramirez had a little bit more.
Yeah,
but that wasn't to discredit Taylor. The one thing I did not like that Taylor did was, and I mentioned this so many times, and I always reference Andre Ward when I say this, and I think you know this, and I hope I don't sound like a broken record, but just for the people who haven't heard me say this, Andre Ward made the statement way back when in 2011 during that Super 6 tournament when he was being interviewed. He said, a lot of guys can fight offensively on the inside, but they can't defend well on the inside. And what I heard him say that, I attributed that to, like I always say, up close, small, outside, tall. So when you're close, you make yourself the contact target, you get low, you position your body properly, keep that foot on the outside of your opponent's lead foot there when you're in there, and head off center, wrap around the elbow, you know, dig right up the center, whatever. Keep yourself small, so it's not about getting your shots off. It's about putting yourself in a position where you're not going to take much damage in there, and you're making yourself hard to hit as well. Not just offensively, but you have to think defensively when you're up close, because you're right there, and you're right there in the kitchen. You're in the danger zone. I didn't like how when Taylor would go inside, he would be straight up, and he would get, you know, he would expose his torso a lot. Another thing I didn't like that Taylor did, and he actually did it a little bit last night, is when he backs out straight. And sometimes he's not all the way out, and he misjudges his distance. And a couple times last night, he got hit with some right hands by Ramirez because he didn't go far enough out. Ramirez took a couple steps forward and was able to shoot the lead right on him. But the one beautiful thing that Taylor did, and that speaks to your point about his grittiness and his toughness, on the inside, when he grabbed Ramirez, and again, I've said this there's another thing I said 1,000 times and I'll repeat it again. Difference between holding as opposed to clinching. Holding is a desperation move when you're just trying to freeze the action. You just stay there and you're waiting for the ref to break. Guys that do that, like Amir Khan, they really don't have any intention of fighting on the inside or taking an offensive stance when they do that. If you go back, this fight reminded me, minus the knockdowns, of Sean Porter versus Kell Brook. Remember how Kell Brook grabbed Sean Porter, but it was a clinch. It was almost like a wrestling type thing when a wrestler is locked up and the other wrestler gets the upper hand and he pushes and leans forward and pushes off his back foot, leans his shoulders forward, mm-hmm. gets positioned on that other guy, and that other guy has to really position his feet where he can stabilize himself, and he has to balance himself. And if the other guy's pushing him back, he's essentially off balance, and he cannot throw punches. When a guy's off balance and he's being forced back, he can't throw punches. So what I saw Taylor do was when Ramirez did get close and he grabbed him, he would lean forward and push him back, and he would contain Ramirez. So he appeared to me to be a lot stronger than Ramirez on the inside when they grappled and they tangled up. And just like what Kell Brook did, before the referee could slide in and break them, he would push off. And you see how he pushed them off and created that little bit of space, and that's how he shot the uppercut in there. So it wasn't just to hold him and contain him. The clinching is it allows a fighter to push his opponent off balance, and I said many times, maneuver him, and put him where he wants to put him so he can line him up for the shot. So if he wants to place him here, grab him and turn him and push him here so he can shoot the uppercut there, that's a strategic move. It's not just because I got to hold this guy so he can't punch me. I'm going to grab him, force him back, knock him off balance, and position him and line him up for the punch that I want to set him up with. And when you look at that seventh round, when Ramirez just dropped his hands, Kenny Bayless, we know he effed this fight up. But if you look at the sequence,
awful,
really bad, right?
Awful.
You look at the sequence before that, when Taylor had him like this, right? Bayless came in and he grabbed Ramirez's arm and he pulled it down.
That was in that seventh round.
Grabbed his arm and pulled it down like he was trying to like tell him don't grab.
Right.
But Ramirez wasn't holding it. It was Taylor. So he grabbed him. So then at that point in time, he did that and then he slid back out. So Ramirez was saying to himself, this guy's breaking up the clinch. But he did.
Boom.
So he went in and then went back out. So he showed a great degree of indecisiveness in this fight.
Yeah.
And a guy with that amount of experience is not supposed to show that amount of indecisiveness in this fight.
Well, I think he was getting hit at different angles that he wasn't used to getting hit at. You know what I mean? He was getting hit.
No, but I'm talking about Bayless.
Bayless.
The indecisiveness of Bayless not knowing. Like, if you're going to go in there and break somebody, you break them. You don't make like you're going to break them and then go back out. So that still does not absolve or excuse what Ramirez did. That's a rookie mistake, just dropping your hands.
It really is, yeah.
Because how many times does the referee go in and break and a fighter is in the process of throwing a punch and that punch still gets off even though the referee's trying to break him? So you always got to be cognizant of that.
Well, yeah. I mean, and that's the thing with Kenny Bayless last night. And did you notice that Ramirez was crying a lot to the referee? He would talk about the clinching
horrible.
And stuff, and I'm like, dude, this is like rookie stuff.
You know why he was doing that? It was the same thing that Sean Porter was doing because they couldn't fight out of it. They didn't.
Right.
Kell Brook appeared to be very physically strong in that fight, more so than I anticipated. And I think Josh Taylor did as well in this fight. So that was a big component to nullifying Ramirez on the inside, kind of grabbing him and mauling him and bullying him a little bit, and then positioning him and lining him up for shots. Same thing that I thought Kell Brook did to Sean Porter. But another key component as well was Josh Taylor's jab was working overtime last night.
Yeah,
there's been times when he's abandoned it, but he used it in a variety of ways yesterday. He used it as a rhythm breaker, used it as a setup punch, but he wasn't just so, like, before he would just be so picky with it and just throw it and make sure he had to land it precise. He was just throwing it, just to make sure you come forward. There's something that's coming back at you.
Yeah.
So he wasn't just throwing it one way. He was moving it around. He was touching him in the shoulder, top of the head, wherever he could do. Wherever he could land that punch, he was going to land that punch. He wasn't too picky with it. Sometimes he gets a little too picky with it, and he doesn't just use it enough. But that as well as his physical strength in there, to me, really made the difference in this fight because I underestimated his physical strength. I always knew he was gritty, but as you said, he proved he was more grittier than I thought he was. I think he proved that to a lot of people, not just me. Because that was one of the narratives going in, as you said. A lot of people were saying that, not just me. So
two things here. Chandler M, that first knockdown was definitely a knockdown. It was not a push. I mean, if you go watch the replay, he catches him right on the point of the chin, and he falls forward. You know, Notorious says they're going to do Taylor Zepeda next. They're not going to do Taylor Zepeda next. Catterall is going to be next for him.
Yeah. One last point on Kenny Bayless, too. This is the last point we're making him, which this is the most aggravating thing in the world to me. When a fighter's hurt, you ask him at the most two times, are you all right? You don't ask a guy, are you all right, six times.
Jesus.
You don't.
He could have finished him in that round.
Quite possible.
He was that hurt.
Quite possible. Very, very possible. I'm not going to even try to argue.
That's a good point. I never even – yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
You don't ask a guy six times, are you all right? And
no.
Another thing you don't do, which is what Jock Reese does.
Oh, I hate
that. You don't give him
that guy, man.
You don't give him a tour around the ring. Here's the right corner. Here's the red corner. Here's the blue corner. Here's the far corner. No. Are you all right? Take two steps to me. That's it.
Let's go.
Enough with all these theatrics and this BS that these refs want to do.
You know what it
like
is.
You,
it's them.
Like you said.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. All right, let me say this. Like you said, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, and I think you were going with this.
Yeah.
So before you say it, They are not the story of the fight.
Right. That's exactly where I was going with it.
I didn't mean
you
to
read my mind. That's okay. You read my mind.
I knew you were going to say it.
That's it, though. They try to interject themselves, and they want to be, hey, there's a third guy in here, guys. I mean, nobody paid to see you. You know what I mean? I don't understand it. I really don't. And Jack Reese is another one of those guys that does that. But that seventh round, you saw the video. You saw the video where he knocked his arm down. When they're in that clinch, he knocked his arm down, and he came back with that uppercut and floored him. You know, I mean, listen, it's not Bayless's fault that you got knocked down, okay? But,
and then,
you know, you shouldn't be, you know what I mean? Just let him fight out of it.
And then when Bayless went into Ramirez's corner after the round, you hear Robert Garcia saying, oh, he hit him on the break. No, he did not hit him on the break. The hands were free. He broke the clinch. He released the clinch before Bayless got in there and needed to break it. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. I thought overall, man, both guys did a good job, but I couldn't, like, there's a couple things here. Like, I couldn't make a case for a rematch here. Even though the fight was 2 points clear, I still can't make a case for a rematch. I thought it was pretty clear that one guy won. You know, we all know where Josh Taylor's going after this, and we'll tell you here in a minute, but where does Ramirez go after this?
Well, speaking of Zepeda,
I think that is a good fight.
I see no reason why that wouldn't be a good fight.
I like that fight.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, I don't mind that fight. That's a good fight for him, because Zepeda didn't look all that great last night against Hank Lundy, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Still dangerous, that guy, though.
For sure. So next for Josh Taylor is the mandatory, and that's going to be Jack Catterall. Bob Arum said that he wants to fight in Glasgow or London, and then the move would be to face Teofimo Lopez or Terrence Crawford. So once again, Terrence Crawford could really be out in the cold here, because I like Teofimo and Taylor. I like that. You got two undisputed champions. I don't know that that's ever happened, not in the modern era anyway. Not when you have two belts on the line, you know, WBC and WBA. Who have we had that's been unified, that has stepped up against another unified champion?
You got me stumped, kid.
I mean, we don't even need the four belt. Let's take the two belt era.
That's a Trivial Pursuit question. I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, that's a humongous fight right there.
I believe so.
That's a bigger fight than Taylor Crawford.
Oh, yeah.
By far.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's a huge, huge fight, man. So
monster fight.
Once again, man, thank you so much, D-Style, man. We appreciate it. Shout out to D-Style Boxing. That's a bigger fight than him and Crawford, I'll tell you that. That's a huge fight. Who do you favor in that fight? I think you got to go with him, right?
Taylor?
No.
Tio?
Yeah.
Yeah, I
got to
go with Tio.
I got to go with Tio. I got to go with Tio on that one, man.
You know how once you pick somebody once you pick a guy, like I picked Ramirez, right? He lost, right? So what do? I'll jump ship in a second. I'm on the tail of bandwagon now, baby.
Let me tell you what. Whichever way the wind's blowing, that's the way I'm pointing. You know what I'm saying?
Like Don King stepping over the beaten fighter and going to the opposite for the next fighter. That's what we do over here at Ringside Reporter.
That's how we do it, man.
We have no shame.
MEZ Box, thank you so much. He said Taylor needs to stay away from Bud Crawford. He would be food for Crawford. I would agree with that. I think that that's not a good
You know what?
I think Crawford beats him, and I think Crawford probably beats him rather handily.
You know what's even worse for Crawford? He's going to be 34 years old in September. He's getting old, man.
He's got nobody there. He's got nobody to fight.
He's got to get a big fight in, man, before he gets too old.
He's got nobody there. Who's he going to fight? You know what I mean? What are you going to do? Talk about somebody they kept age shaming all night yesterday. Hank Lundy, our boy, versus Jose Zepeda. Zepeda beats Hank Lundy by unanimous decision, 98-92 across the board. Let me tell you what, man. They were all over Hank Lundy in this fight constantly. And I got to be honest, I didn't think he looked that bad. For somebody who was supposed to be a shot fighter coming in.
Chikal told me.
That's why they said. That's why, you know.
Chikal told me, he goes, that fight's going to go the distance. And I said, no, I think Lundy's going to get stuffed. Chikal's right. Got to get people props when they're right.
Yeah. This is the first time in a long time Chikal's been wrong about a main event. I mean he picked Ramirez. I know he picked Ramirez. And he picked him by KO. But Chandler Rand, a lot of hate on Bud Crawford, man. That's cold-blooded.
Yeah. Either way, it was a great fight. Bud Crawford has the worst record to be in ESPN.
Stop.
No, please.
Come on.
What is this?
Unified champion, son. Quit it. We went over his resume. Like, how many former world champions did he fight?
Do you want to hear something crazy? You know how tribal,
yes,
boxing is. There is a contingent on YouTube that are celebrating right now, and they're just giving all the stick they can to Terrence Crawford because Errol Spence got the Pacquiao fight instead of him. Everyone's like celebrating that.
Why do you
root for someone else's downfall? Like, bad about – name one bad thing about Terrence Crawford. Like, why would anyone not respect and appreciate Terrence Crawford? Why would anyone be negative to that guy?
You know, if Terrence Crawford fought Manny Pacquiao, though, if he got the Pacquiao fight,
yeah,
if Crawford got the Pacquiao fight, Pacquiao's washed.
Oh,
that's all we would hear.
Oh, you're so right.
It's insane, man. It's insane.
But the cult right now, the cult is having a party. They got their Wilder Fury 3, right? And they got their Spence Pacquiao fight. They just died and went to heaven, the cult.
The Wilder Fury 3. Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
You're kidding me, man.
They love that fight.
Insane.
They love it.
All right, let's talk about your boy. Your boy, Beeb, across the pond.
TF?
Your man, Sam Eggington.
Oh, I thought it was TF.
Your boy, Sam Eggington, son. That's your ace in the hole right there, man. That's your man.
Cheeseman. I like Cheeseman.
Cheeseman, too. Versus Carlos Molina. Eggington beats Molina by the scores of 116, 112, 119, 109, and 117, 111. Molina has 12 losses on his record.
Poor guy.
He just got 7, so I don't know. What are you going to do, you know?
You got to find something else to do.
Yeah, what are you going to do, man? All right, let's go to the phones here. I think Ringside Robbie's online. See if we can bring him up. How much you want to bet he had? Who do you have to win?
I don't know. I didn't ask him.
I bet he had.
I think he picked Ramirez.
He picked Ramirez. I guarantee today he's going to pick Taylor.
He's a bandwagon jumper. He always picks white.
It's funny, man. Now I see, like, everybody again, man. Everybody picked Josh Taylor today and said how much Ramirez was screwing up last night and everything like that. Oh, I knew it. I think I was the only one that had Josh Taylor last week.
Yes, you did, Eric.
Who else had him?
Yes, you did.
Who else had him?
You know who else had him? You know Emil Carr?
Emil Carr had him?
Oh, yeah. I know who.
What's the one with Christine?
I feel bad. No, in the ring with Christine had Taylor.
Okay.
You know who else had Taylor? I feel so bad. Calix Boxing was leaning towards Taylor, and I talked him out of it. and then he bet on Ramirez. He only bet a little bit of money. I'm so sore. Calix Boxing.
Hey, it is what it is.
It
is what it is. You should have came to me. Calix is the boy right here.
You made money with B, too. You made money with B before.
Man, he's homeless because of you now, B. He's homeless, son. Robert, who did you have?
No, I picked Ramirez, and I definitely was wrong. Boy, I was very impressed with what Josh Taylor did last night. And also, my God, for somebody that's refereed 812 fights, what the hell was Kenny Bayless doing? That was horrible.
You could have done a better job. All 98 pounds of you. You would have been in there breaking them up. You don't mess around.
Who do you think would win, Robert or Inoue?
I would not have broken him up as much as he did. I mean,
I said, who wins? Who wins, Robert or Inoue?
Oh, Inoue, my God, he can punch.
I don't know, man. I think I don't know,
Robbie,
man.
Robbie would bite him
solid.
Robbie would bite him.
Oh, that's cold blooded.
No, I would be put to sleep, man. I know that. But no, that was horrible. I mean, I understand when you go to Las Vegas, you get a big-name referee for a main event, but he was the wrong referee for that fight. I mean, just, you know, if there's a case for a rematch in the future, you get it out of Las Vegas and you make sure you put the right kind of referee in there. I mean, that was horrible refereeing on his part. Great fight, though. But, man, did I have that wrong. I mean, not that I disrespected Josh Taylor. I had just seen Jose Ramirez fight more. And, you know, hey, when you're wrong, you're wrong.
It was a good fight. It was a good fight,
yeah.
though. You
yeah.
know, but I think, like I said, man, it was definitely a clear winner.
Definitely. No dispute. Yeah,
he's undisputed, man.
Yeah.
So why did they take Kenny Bayless as that ref in there, Robert?
I think it's the Floyd Mayweather syndrome. Every time Floyd had a big fight, who was the referee? Kenny Bayless.
Yeah, I guess he's – I wonder if he's their senior – I guess he has to be their senior referee.
Because I don't think Robert Byrd is refereeing anymore, so I think Kenny Bayless is now the senior guy. But
Robert
I wonder
Byrd
how much...
is out there selling meat off the back of a truck right now. He sucks, too.
Yeah.
Adelaide Byrd.
I wonder how much longer he deserves that senior title after last night. That was a horrible job.
Terrible, son. Terrible.
Robert, and we're putting a petition to get you down there.
Yeah, I'm not excited about Wilder and Fury 3 because I think the same thing's going to happen in number 3 that happened in number 2. You know,
you're buy it in 1 and 2.
You going to buy it, Robbie?
Blowout. I probably will.
You know, I probably will cuz, you know,
I am too. I don't care.
And I also think this is the last ride for Manny Pacquiao. I think Spence gets him.
Yeah,
I think so too.
I mean, he's 42. He's been out of the ring for 2 years. Father Time is undefeated for a reason.
That's true.
You know.
Well said, Robbie.
How old is Deontay Wilder again?
He's what?
I think he's
going to
be 36. He's almost, no, 36? He's going to be 36.
Okay.
Yeah, he's getting up there too.
36,
but he
hasn't fought in 2 years or 1 year.
He hasn't been in the ring since last February.
Wasn't it
February 22nd last year?
Exactly a year and a half. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly
mm-hmm.
a year and a half. Yes, you're correct, Robert. Yes.
Yeah.
That's correct.
So from February 22nd last year to July 24th of this year, that's a year and a half.
I don't know. Anyway, he says Hopkins was 43 when he beat Pavlik. Son, let me tell you what, he ain't no Hopkins. Yeah, Hopkins was a different animal, man. Different animal.
Yep.
All right, Robert. We're gonna get moving. Let's bring up. I think it's Nacho's on the line here.
Okay.
Let's see
you guys.
See what we got. All right, man. 8:05. What's that?
Nacho's gonna lie and say pick Taylor.
Yeah, you know he's gonna say yeah.
No, he's gonna.
Come
lie.
On, Beef.
Oh,
really?
Up, Beef.
Come on. How dare you? How dare you question my integrity, Beef?
Who'd you have?
I had Ramirez. I honestly thought he was going to win a close decision, to be honest.
We all had Ramirez.
I told you.
I didn't think that Taylor was going to be able to, make the adjustment to overcome him. But, hey, all credit to Taylor and Ben Davidson. They were able to implement the game plan of, having Taylor smother Ramirez when he got inside and, hold and grab. And then when he was able to. He was able to sneak in some sneaky left uppercuts to the body, and he got him with that uppercut that dropped him, you know. So they came up with the perfect game plan. They admitted as much too after the fight was over in the post fight press conference. They admitted that they had done certain things strategically to try to get under Ramirez's skin and kind of piss him off. And it seems like it worked, because it seemed like Ramirez didn't fight as calm and as collected as he usually does. It seemed like he let Taylor's antics get under his skin, and that proved to be costly. But you got to give Taylor credit. He went out there and he executed, and, you know, he landed the two knockdowns, and he won. I had it scored 15-11 for Taylor. I thought he won 7-5, and then with the two knockdowns, he won 4-4 on my scorecard. So, you know, I think Ramirez is being kind of dismissed a little too quickly just because he lost. I thought he came back the last few rounds and kind of, you know, gave a better account of himself after that second knockdown. I thought Taylor was going to take him out after the second one, but he didn't. He hung in there and he made it. You know,
the one where Bayless stopped it and had him do the hokey pokey and everything like that in the middle of the ring before he
that was
before
horrible.
He had a chance to. Bayless sucks, man.
He does.
Terrible.
He does.
He's hanging with Robert Byrd pretty soon.
Yeah, hopefully Bayless
can get him a job over there.
Fucking tour guy.
Yeah.
Wow. Ho! That was messed up.
What happened?
Yeah.
Wow, Nacho. That was cold-blooded, man.
What did Nacho say? What did he say?
He said, hopefully Bayless won't be around much longer. I said, man, I'm not wishing him dead, man. I'm just wishing him the whole... Well, come on,
hey,
man.
Hey,
that's cold-blooded, man.
Nacho.
I didn't say I wanted him to die, Eric. Come on.
Gotta be
that's
limit.
The most cold-blooded thing I ever heard on here, man.
There's
got to
be a point where we just don't go beyond it.
Seriously, man.
There's got to be a level.
Shut up, man.
I mean, we don't ever want to take it there. We don't ever want to take
come
it there.
Come on.
Ho.
Human life is a human life, Nacho.
You guys are turning it into something that it wasn't. Jeez, talk about taking stuff out of context. Man. You guys are brutal today.
He won't be around.
I was like, I hope he gets hit by a car.
If you had a voodoo doll right now, you'd be sticking pins in the guy.
Wow, man, that was.
You'd be sticking pins in the guy if you had a vote. If you had a
I never heard nothing like that.
What you'd be doing? You probably got a soundboard with his picture on it.
Wow.
The house. Horrible.
Nacho crossing the line, man.
Come on. Wow. Talk about throwing me under the bus and then backing up over me too, both of you. Jeez. just real quick, guys, I wanted to really quick with Zepeda. That was a horrible performance. Like, he looked completely disinterested. I don't know what Lundy's doing in there anymore. I mean, he should have been able to take him out, and he didn't. You know, he looked like he didn't want to be there, but Zepeda just kind of was going through the motions, and I was surprised they scored it that lopsided, to be honest. I thought the fight was a little closer.
I thought it was a little closer, too, and I thought Lundy did a pretty good job. For as much trash as those announcers were talking and just downing him and everything like that, let me tell you what, I thought he did a pretty good job.
You were talking about Lundy like he was friggin', like he was a corpse in there or something. It was like,
yeah, I'm like, yeah, that corpse doing pretty good right now, man. I mean, he's not doing bad.
So disrespectful.
Yeah,
he's friend of the show.
He looked better than a lot of people probably thought he did, and he made it a tougher fight for Zepeda, that's for sure. So
I like Zepeda and I like Ramirez. I think that's a good next fight if that's the way it goes. Because I didn't see anything in Zepeda fight that would make me pick him, man.
I wouldn't mind seeing that fight again, to be honest. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think it's a very legit possibility. And then really quick with Elvis Rodriguez. Man, that was such a disappointing performance on his part. Like, you would think that with Freddie Roach that he would be teaching that kid to, like, you know, go to the body and kind of switch up his attack here and there and just kind of make adjustments. You know, depending on the style of the opponent, but man, that was a horrible, horrible performance on his part. Like, all he kept trying to do was headhunt it seemed like he fell in love with his power, like trying to take out Sims. And Sims was just able to jab him and, you know, throw the right hand all night. And Rodriguez just couldn't make the adjustment at all. So I give Sims a lot of credit, but that's a bad loss for Rodriguez to lose to a guy who basically was brought in as cannon fodder, and you end up losing to the guy and you look bad at the same time. I mean, I thought the judges, I thought the judge that scored it a draw was crazy. I was like, there's no way that fight was a draw. I thought Sims won, like the other two judges had scored six out of eight. That's all. I was like, man, what the hell was that judge watching? It seemed like he was, seemed like he filled out his scorecard before the fight even started. I mean, that was just terrible. But yeah.
Crazy.
So, I know.
All right, Nacho, we're going to get running, man.
All right, guys. Yeah. All right. See.
All right. Yeah.
Just be a little nicer next time.
I know. Hey, over there with Kenny Bayless, man. Like,
Stop putting death wishes on people. Please.
Right? What's Georgie? What's Georgie saying? Georgie's saying ringside backstab reporter. What's this about? What do we do?
Well, he's not.
My fault he's got to call from a payphone every week. You know what I mean? Like, what do we do, you know?
Lois, file a defamation suit against this nut.
That's right. Defamation of character.
Defamation
of character, man. 718. This is Brooklyn? Is this Brooklyn?
That's New York.
New York, yeah. Well,
that's New
Brooklyn.
York.
That's one of the five boroughs, son.
That's one of the five boroughs, baby. You know how we roll down there.
It's Brooklyn. It's New York. I know
Bronx,
it's New
York.
No, everybody knows. What is it, Bronx?
Yes, sir.
All right. Who are we talking to? Yes.
Talking to a milk car, man.
Ah, there we go. I was like, wait a minute. I didn't recognize your, like,
hello?
I didn't recognize the number, man. I'm like, wait a minute.
That's the Boogie Down Bronx.
Hello?
Eric.
Boogie
That's the
Down
Bronx.
Bronx.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, awesome.
We can hear you,
so
brother.
I missed the first part. I missed the first part of the show, and I'm just going to keep it short. I just want to know if Joe's opinion has changed on Ben Davidson as a trainer. I don't know if he addressed that at the beginning or not.
That's a good point. What about that, Beeb? You were taking a dump all over Davidson the entire week.
You're only as good as your last fight, so you know how we do it. You know how we do it in Ringside Reporter right here. As soon as we're wrong about something, we just jump ship and go to the other side. That's how we roll here.
That's how it is, man. I hate to admit it, but he's right.
I mean, he did. We can't say anything bad about what he did last night, so we have to give him full credit for the performance.
Yeah, I think so. I think
See,
he did
me
a good
and
job.
Milcar had Taylor. We both had
the
Taylor.
I'll say one thing. He was very specific with his instructions. Number one, and I think that he kept Taylor calm in there. He kept him poised. He controlled the emotion in Taylor. When things were starting to get a little rough for him, he kind of calmed him down. And I think he did a good job last night. I can't criticize. I mean, he won. It was a great performance.
That's what's up. And I'm guessing you guys are going to give your takes on Linares Haney later, right? I'll listen up for that on
yes.
online. I just had that
yeah,
to ask.
For sure.
That's it, guys. Great show as always. I'll stay tuned on hold.
Oh, thank
you guys,
you,
take care. All right, bro.
Absolutely.
But I
want
to say
you.
One thing. Ben Davidson's a phenomenal trainer.
Just like you said last week, right?
Yeah.
I meant to ask you about that, too. I'm glad he brought that up because I meant to ask you about that. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. What about Davidson, son?
Listen, the Internet is forever, man. If you say one thing on here, it will haunt you. So I did say I wasn't a fan of Ben Davidson in the corner. So I'm going to have to take that one.
Hey, Nacho says you're a straight front runner, son.
I am.
Straight front runner.
So disloyal.
Disloyal as they come. How dare you, Beeb. All right, let's see what's coming up next week. Let's get there here. This racing? No, I'm unboxing. I usually have it keyed up. I didn't have it keyed up this week.
All right.
Yeah, what else am I going to do, you know? May 29th, Las Vegas on DAZN. Devin Haney versus Jorge Linares. 12 rounds for Haney's WBC lightweight title. Undercard, Chantel Cameron versus Melissa Hernandez. 10 rounds for Cameron's WBC women's junior welterweight title. Martin J. Ward versus Azinga Fuzile, 12 rounds for the vacant IBF junior. Have you heard of either one of those guys?
No.
DAZN has been putting on some nonsense lately. You remember when they had the Canelo fight just a few weeks ago? That undercard was garbage.
That
was on paper. That was
We already mentioned that. I mean, they did put a couple good shows on. The Katie Taylor card was good with Jonas, and the Povetkin card with Dillian White was okay. The Chisora card with Chisora fought Parker. That wasn't a bad card. But they're not straight consistent. I don't know. I guess it's hard to put on back-to-back-to-back great cards, but they have some type of balance, you know.
That Canelo card was awful.
Don't go from here and then, like, go all the way down here, you know. So
it's terrible, right?
Some balance, you know.
It's awful. The fight I'm looking most forward to, and I've been looking forward to this for a long, long time here, on Showtime. On, I guess, Saturday, the 29th. Nordin Ubali versus Nonito Donaire, 12 rounds for Ubali's WBC bantamweight title. On the undercard there, Subrio Matias versus Badrzan Djukabaev, 12 rounds for the IBF junior welterweight title eliminator. That Ubali fight, Ubali-Donaire, that is a good fight. I'm real curious to see how Donaire looks against Ubali. And I'm real curious to see if Ubali can get him out of there. I'm real curious to see if Ubali can dominate that fight. A lot of working pieces in that fight, man.
Donaire just keeps steady taking tough fights. He don't care.
Right? He doesn't care. I mean, he's always taking good stuff. I mean, always good stuff, man. I like Ubali a lot, so I'm gonna take him to win that fight. What say you?
I would have to concur with you.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
All right, so Devin Haney and Jorge Linares, the fight on DAZN, it's I don't know. Listen, man, Devin Haney is going to win this fight, and he's going to win it big on the scorecards. Whether he wins the fight big, I don't know. I think it's going to be a blowout on the scorecards. I don't think Linares is going to be in the fight, but I'm wondering if it's going to be a Haney hit and run kind of night.
Does Haney need a knockout here, in your opinion? I think he does.
You know, I tell you what, I don't know that he does, but I tell you what, it wouldn't hurt his stock. That's for sure. And Haney can do it. That's the thing, is Haney can do it. He's got the talent to do it. You know, he reminds me a lot of like a young Mayweather in the sense that of the way he wins fights. You know what I mean? The way he boxes, the way he, you know, he doesn't get hit a lot.
He's methodical.
Very much so.
Yes.
And he's got the power. He's got the power to do it. He's got the skill to do it. He should be able to do it. I just somehow think it's going to go to a decision.
Will the public accept another lackluster decision from Devin Haney? Will it help or hurt him, or will it just probably just be a stalemate and do nothing?
I think it's probably going to be a stalemate, to be honest with you. But I mean, if you were, if I'm a fighter, if I'm a manager, promoter, whatever, what do I do with this guy? Because at that point, if he goes the distance with Linares and just whitewashes him or whatever, or it's just not, it's lackluster, you know, why would I put him? Why would I put my guy in there with Haney? He's not going to sell tickets. He's not going to bring anything there. I mean, it's again, a lot of risk and very little reward.
The frustrating thing about Devin Haney is Lomachenko signs to fight Nakatani, and then obviously Teofimo's got his mandatory with Kamposis.
And he calls them both out, you know.
And then on Twitter, it's like, oh, I'd like to fight either one of them next. It's like clockwork. It's like you can set your clock to when Devin Haney is going to do a call-out on Twitter, because every time he does it, the people he's calling out have fights already scheduled. It's just too convenient, bro. It's like clout chasing at its finest. I just don't get it. So
I don't understand it. I really don't understand it.
I guess he's getting paid good over there, you know. I'm not going to criticize him, but I don't say any fighter's afraid to fight any fighter. It just looks ridiculous that you're doing it every time someone's fight is signed. You know, they already have a fight signed up and lined up. It's just too it's too convenient and predictable that you're going to do it. It's typical behavior of him. It's just
he's got a lot of potential. He's got a lot of potential.
Yeah, he's a great fighter.
He's a great fighter. A lot of potential. Super, super talented. But you got to put it to work now. Look at Lopez, Teofimo Lopez. He didn't just beat Lomachenko. I mean, he beat Lomachenko. He put no question mark on that fight.
Look at what Josh Taylor did with 17 fights under his belt. Look how fast he's moving.
Well, sure. And look who he fought last night and won the fight handily.
Devin Haney's got a lot of talent. I just don't want to see him squander his career like this.
That's what I'm looking at.
But he is getting paid a lot of money for these fights. But
Demetrius Andrade, Gary Russell, it's almost like they all have that same symptom, where it's they want big money fights, but you're not putting in big money performances.
Yeah.
I think that's the difference.
Yeah.
Everybody talks about Floyd and everything like that. Well, we're just like Floyd now because we're fighting just like him. Listen, how much promotion Floyd did? How hard Floyd works? I mean, love him or hate him, he is the hardest working guy in the business when he was fighting.
He really created his brand and took his brand to another level.
How difficult that is?
Yeah, you got to give him credit for that.
I mean, that's a difficult thing to do. And you guys are not like him because you're not putting in that work. You know what I mean? And that's a big deal.
Yep.
That's a very big deal.
Yep.
So, all right. Let's go to 508. Georgie.
Mother of God.
From this day, you'll be my new fool.
Yo!
Georgie, you're live.
What's happening, people? It's like somebody died over here, man. No hype, no nothing, no enthusiasm. What's going on? What are you guys down
Welcome,
for?
Welcome, Georgie.
Great boxing going on. I get the bad news. Listen, I get the bad news that the last summer in the goddamn movie came back. The Undead. Nosferatus. Fucking the Antiguada. Back from the fucking dead.
Whoa.
Your boy. Pooty popping this motherfucker. Ain't nobody want to listen, man. I can't wait just to Fury to pull him out. When they're going to fight?
Producer, cue the subtitles.
Yo, when Fury's
up,
fighting fucking Wilder?
June 24th.
Where are you going now?
July 24th.
July 24th, I'm sorry. I'm all discombobulated now with this call.
So we got a little more than 2 months then. Just to get it over with.
July 24th.
So they were saying that maybe the Anthony Joshua could be even the same year towards the winter. What's up with that?
What do you say? Translator.
Is the Anthony Joshua gonna fight the winner Wilder and Fury on the fall or towards the winter?
Maybe.
I think if Anthony Joshua beats Usyk, I think they'll fight in December, I think, yeah.
Right, they tried to line that shit to time at the same time these people fighting, so he fight Usyk, and then at the same year we can have a unified champ.
If both guys fight in July, he'll be able to come back in December, I would imagine, to be honest.
So at least we can expect this goddamn mafia to time this motherfucker right after the whole fiasco, the whole year and some waiting. Because you seem to be to talk to Bob every other day, Beebs. Can we get the message through? Can these people time this shit? So we can have this unification at the end of the year?
Well, I'm hoping. I'm pulling for it.
Yeah.
I think we're all pulling for it. I think now that the COVID restrictions are pretty much going to be gone come July, or come June, actually. June 15th, the state of emergency is being lifted from here. June 2nd, the state of emergency is being lifted in Vegas. Now I guess the only thing left to worry about is the travel ban. So funny how other countries are allowed to come in here, but people from the UK can't. It's utterly ridiculous.
June 2nd, it gets lifted here in Ohio.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. We have to wait to the 15th. Mask mandate will be gone.
Beep. I know you're going to interview Bob before the whole shit comes down, even before the fight with Fury and Wilder. Could you somehow try to influence this man to try to time this shit for the end of the year?
Well, now,
no,
Tyson Fury.
This undisputed, how long are we waiting for this undisputed, Dougie?
I'll ask him about that next time. I'm a little bit disappointed that I didn't really talk too much more about that.
I mean, somebody who can touch these people got to try to push this timing, bro. Timing is really important.
He sounded tired, so I wanted to kind of let him go. He looked like he's falling asleep. He had a long weekend or something, obviously.
You know who's falling asleep? I'm falling asleep waiting for this goddamn fight, bro. I'm falling asleep. Now I got to see Wilder for the third time. Once again, bro. The goddamn something in the movie will never die. Always come out of the fucking end. Man, bro. Listen, man. I don't have a lot to say. Shout out to Robin DiCiotti. Huh?
You seen the video?
I've seen it twice. I know who's going to win the fight.
Listen, you seen the video Wilder going forward and Maliska backing up like fucking Fury going to back up in the third fight? The whole wrong plan. This man is pushing some type of fucking break on the sand. Like, he didn't going to push fucking Fury all the way up like that. Or that. I don't know who's training this man on what. Dougie got two left legs. He can't walk. This man cannot even walk right.
You would say he can't walk.
Dougie cannot punch and move. He cannot punch and move. Every time he throws his right hand, he's always got to be standing up.
He can't walk. First, one guy wants someone to die.
He can't even walk, bro. It's a shame.
He can't walk. He's not on crutches. Talking about he can't walk.
Man, listen, that man is something wrong
with
him. He don't belong in a boxing ring. He's just blessed by God that he's big. That's about it, baby. He's just big like that. That's it.
All right, thanks for the call.
Is there a bunch of people behind you waiting to use the
payphone? You know, come on, don't make me do that to the answer. You want me to do that to the answer? I do it for you guys. But you know, there is no type of fucking IQ ring. There's no ring IQ. There is no more fucking skill. There is nothing besides that bullshit right hand. And half of the motherfuckers who fought him took a dive. Maliska is there taking a dive on your right eye. You see it on the internet, man. This guy taking a dive against him. Now he's training him. And somehow you guys want to give this man some type of credibility. You see how bad he looks? He's bad. Stop it. Anyways,
all right, Georgie. We're going to go now.
I'm out.
All right.
I'm out.
And we're going to talk about that fight.
Jesus Christ, I got a headache.
Jesus.
Now.
That's like work. I mean, that's like going to work or something like that.
Trying to listen to that as a part, man. I think my IQ just dropped a few points.
All right. So Robert asked me if the pay-per-view, the Wilder Fury pay-per-view, it's going to be on pay-per-view, but will it also be on ESPN Plus? Even if it is on ESPN, we don't know, but even if it is on ESPN Plus, it will still be a pay-per-view. They're not going to have a pay-per-view here, and then you got to pay for it somewhere, kind of like DAZN does.
Oh, yeah. You don't
know.
You can buy it on ESPN Plus, I think.
Or you can buy it on DirecTV or wherever.
Or you can buy it on regular cable. Yeah, so you don't need ESPN Plus to buy it.
Yeah,
DirecTV and your regular.
But it'll be on both platforms. Pay.
Yeah.
You don't get the fight for free. Yeah, you ain't going to get that fight for free.
You're not going to be forced to use ESPN Plus. You have to buy that.
Right.
That's not correct.
All right, let's go to our news and rumors and heading down the home stretch here. So what happened to make the Fury Wilder fight, as we reported earlier on in the week here, arbitration. Apparently, you know, I think that one side, and Beav, you've been very vocal about this. I believe that the Tyson Fury side, I think everybody there knew which way this was going. I think they'd be stupid. Bob Arum is a lawyer, and he's got a whole team of lawyers on his side. And for them to say, be that sure that they were going to be fine, then I would fire all his lawyers. You know what I mean? And that's not the case. I think they all knew which way this was going. I think the only one who didn't know and put his head in the sand was Eddie Hearn, and it was his fault for not knowing. You know, I don't – Eddie Hearn says, well, they you know, they assured us that everything was going to be okay. I think the one guy who – I think he was irresponsible, but I think the other guy was Anthony Joshua, who's really left out here. And I don't think he had a clue about it. I think they all knew he was going through arbitration, but they all kind of say, you know, I think the people on the British side was just like, oh, yeah, well, it should be just another day at the office then. And clearly it wasn't –
But you would have to think. I was talking to Wingy about this. Wingy mentioned this to me. He goes. I can't believe it doesn't make sense to me that Eddie Hearn would not have someone take a look at this beforehand to make sure that it wouldn't have been a problem. Like, he's got an office in New York. He's got people working.
Oh yeah, he does.
Why wouldn't he just ask one of his legal advisors or someone you know, one of his lawyers to take a look at that? You know, it's just weird to me. It just doesn't make sense.
It's just the whole thing is odd. It reeks of ineptitude.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know you were speculating earlier that they were all in on it, but who knows? I mean, really, who knows? You know, we don't know when that Raiders Stadium was booked.
Yeah, but even still, you can't just you can't get the result of an arbitration. And then the next day, call up Raiders Stadium, and they're going to have that date for you. That's like trying to book a wedding, calling today and saying, hey, I want a wedding for next week, wedding hall for next week.
I've never booked a stadium before, so I don't know. I don't know how it goes.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that it's probably a little bit more involved than just me busting off a phone call and saying, hey, I need you to reserve, you know,
that's what I'm saying.
Paul Brown Stadium for the 15th.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
And then you have to ask yourself this. Look how quickly this Wilder Fury 3 fight was put together.
Like that. Within days, son.
You have to suspect that they were working on this behind the scenes even before the arbitration results were revealed.
Yeah.
And then someone was telling me that Sam Watson was saying that they won a couple of days before. And then you have that tweet from what's his name there, the matchmaker there for Top Rank.
Trampler, Bruce Trampler.
Bruce Trampler, yeah. They had Bruce Trampler's tweet on May 15th before the arbitration result was even announced. Oh, Fury's going to be having a pay-per-view in July. Okay, what about the August 14th date? So there's a lot of bad looks here. I mean, if you can, you follow the breadcrumbs, it just doesn't – just something looks fishy.
Did they announce – Robbie just said that they announced at Raider Stadium last night. I didn't hear the announcement.
Well, this is another foobar moment for them. Tyson Fury said Raider Stadium last night. Bob Arum today said T-Mobile.
Yeah, and so we don't know where it's going to be. I'll be honest with you. I don't know.
And,
I don't really care. I can't imagine them filling up a stadium for this fight.
Well, Bob is concerned about the travel ban. What he told me was if the travel ban is lifted and the UK people can come over, then it's Raiders Stadium. If they can't, then it's T-Mobile. That's what he said.
Does it really matter? I mean, do you think that many people are going to come over to fill up Raiders Stadium for this fight?
Yeah,
I mean, come on.
I don't know. I know a couple UK people that I've spoke to are boycotting the fight. They're really mad at Fury.
Yeah.
They're mad at Bob Arum. So I don't know how everyone else feels about it. I spoke with Wingy about it. Wingy saying he's going to buy the pay-per-view. Raphael Dawkins and John Dealey and a couple other UK guys that I talked to, they say they're not.
Wow.
Who knows?
Dawkins isn't buying it?
No, he's not buying it.
He's buying it.
He's not buying it. He's what he said. But just, you know, we always do this, Eric. Everybody always does this. Mm-hmm. We're not going to buy this. Once the promotion starts, the tables start getting flipped over. People start pushing each other. Once the promotion starts, we get our juices flowing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest. I think the event will do well.
Are you buying the Floyd Mayweather fight?
Yes. I think this event will do well. I really don't. I think it will. I think people will start, once the fight gets close, people will start getting interested in it. I think the promotion will be a good promotion, and I think the buildup, I think all the drama and the controversy surrounding this fight, I think it will add to the interest level of the fight.
They're going to have to do something because we've seen this fight twice, and I've seen the same result both times.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
There's nothing there for me.
I don't think he'll knock him out this time, but I think he'll win a clear decision. I'm guessing it's going to be a 116, 112, 117, 111 scorecard. I think Wilder will do better this time around, but it still won't be enough.
Well, you've seen the training with Malik Scott and everything like that. And
yeah.
You know, listen, man,
yeah.
We've seen the same thing from Tyson, him throwing 30 seconds worth of punches or a 5-second clip of him throwing 90 punches. And you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, everybody's like, oh my God, he can come back and fight the heavyweights now. No, he can't.
No, he can't.
One, listen, man, Malik Scott is not going to be able to turn him around.
Yeah.
Because he's 30, what is he, 36, 37?
He'll be 36 very soon.
I mean, he's 36 years old. How many fights he got? Over 40?
40-something.
Plus
fights.
Amateurs.
Yeah.
And you're going to – come on, stop it.
I'll say one thing. I think his jab will be better this fight. But it's still not going to be enough in my opinion.
No. It's not going to be enough.
I got to go with Fury for the third time. I got to go with him too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to try to promote this fight or sell this fight to anybody, but I just want to, for me, Tyson Fury, every time he's the favorite or every time he's the front runner, this is when things start to mess up for him. Cause he's never, ever defended the heavyweight title.
Yeah.
Not even once.
Yeah.
So now that he's won the heavyweight title, is his motivation still there? Now that people are hunting him, and he's the hunted, not the person hunting, right?
I don't know, because hunting Joshua, I think.
Well, that mentality changed because last time, think about it. Last time he was the champion, when he beat Klitschko, I think the responsibility and the weight of having to be the champion and represent boxing, I think that took a toll on him a little bit. Will that be the result this time around? Can he go into a fight being the front runner as the titleist? He's never defended his title yet. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean we'll see. I mean, like I said though, but
I think he'll win comfortably.
Wilder's got one way to win. He's not going to win a decision. He's not going to be able to outbox him. He's got one way to win. He's got to be able to land that right hand.
He's got to be able to win.
And that's all they're going to work on in camp. There is no plan B.
Yeah.
100%, that's all they're going to work on is landing that right hand. That's it. That's it. Because that's all he has.
So what's your prediction? What's your prediction for the pay-per-view buys for this fight? I'm going to say 500,000.
Three?
Okay.
300,000 or less. There is nothing compelling about this fight. There is nothing that says, hey, you should watch this.
If it's in T-Mobile, does it sell out?
No. No, not even close.
So I'm not even going to ask you the next question.
What's that?
If it's in Raider Stadium, does it sell out?
I imagine if it's in Raider Stadium, there'll be more workers there than fans.
Could this fight bomb, like really bomb badly?
Yes, absolutely, and it should.
Yeah.
It should. Let me tell you what, and if there's any justice in the world, in the universe, the karmatic justice, Wilder will win this fight. If there's any justice in the world, Wilder will win this fight. Because Arum and Fury's camp, they all knew that the arbitration was going to go this route. I firmly believe this, that they all knew which way the arbitration was going, and I believe they wasted a truckload of time for both fighters They wasted it for Hearn. They wasted it for Joshua. And they put the public through all this nonsense for absolutely nothing. If there is justice in the universe,
It left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. There's nothing we can say. Yeah, it left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, and there's nothing that can be said that's gonna help that. No one's gonna get no one's gonna feel better about it, no matter what you say.
Dr. Mafongo says, you guys aren't considering what this will look like once the press conferences start and the ESPN machine gets behind it fully. Son, let me tell you something. The ESPN machine last night had a unified champion, a four-belt undisputed champion, only the sixth in modern history, correct, with the four belts. I think he was only the sixth to do it.
Six.
You didn't even get an interview with that guy before they cut off to, what, hockey or some stupid stuff?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I don't think anything can be done to change people's opinions on this whole situation, I think. But I still think it's going to do well. I just think once the like he said, I agree with Dr. Mafongo. Whether it should do well, whether it deserves to do well, that's an entirely different thing. But I just think once the press conferences start and all the drama starts and the tribalism that's going on in the sport of boxing, Wilder still has a lot of fans.
Bang Mateo brings up a real good point. Justice would be if Fury wins. After all the excuses Wilder was slandering, give me a break, Eric. I got to be honest with you. He's right, too. Maybe justice would be if they both broke their legs on the way to the ring. I don't know.
Whoa.
Tony Yayo says, Lord of being a hater, 20,000 LBDC dudes will fill up T-Mobile alone. AJ responded to Fury over social media. He said, at Tyson Fury, he says, the world now sees you for the fraud that you are. You've let boxing down. You lied to the fans and led them on. Use my name for clout, not a fight. Bring me any championship fighter who can handle their business correctly. Couldn't have said it any better. That was perfect. So let me ask you, what's next for Joshua? And the logical thing would be Alexander Usyk, because he's the mandatory. The WBO said that Joshua must face Usyk next. For some reason, Eddie Hearn was trying to delay this. Who's he going to fight if he doesn't fight Usyk? I mean, seriously. I mean, they were talking about letting the belt go and everything. I'm like, what are you talking about? Why would you do that? Why not fight Usyk? That's a very winnable fight for you.
It seems like they may not think it's as winnable of a fight as at least I believe. I think Joshua walks him.
Yeah.
I think he would stop him in six rounds.
Well, look, I mean, you look at Usyk. Usyk's an incredible fighter. I mean, listen, I don't know that he stops him in six rounds. Usyk's an incredible fighter. The problem, though, is Usyk can't, I don't think Usyk can put away Anthony Joshua. I know Joshua can put Usyk away, and I know Joshua can box with Usyk. You know, so I think that he's got multiple ways to win, man.
He's too big.
Yeah, he's too big.
Too big.
Saw what he did with Chisora, man. That was a tough fight for him.
Yeah.
You know, so.
He edged that on my part. He edged it.
Yeah.
He edged it.
Yeah. Sean Porter in the news this week saying he's moving on from Terrence Crawford. Terrence Crawford, let me tell you what, has a bunch of problems right now. He lost the opportunity to fight Manny Pacquiao, clearly, because Pacquiao's fighting Spence. Arum stated that he tried to make that fight. The fight fell through, blah, 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 blah. Arum states a lot of that. Now that fight has gone by the wayside, Sean Porter stated earlier this week that he's moving on from fighting Terrence Crawford, and it looks like he'll be facing someone else maybe this summer. And it sounds like Crawford is going to be laying in wait for another opponent. Everybody says, well, Josh Taylor's going to move up. No, he's got to fight Catterall next. And then he's probably going to fight Teofimo for a bigger money fight. What about this, Beeb? I mean, where does this leave Crawford? I think that, given the fact that Pacquiao is now out, but he was waiting for Pacquiao, and that fight moved on. So why couldn't that Porter fight be made?
Because Porter's going to fight probably
Ugas? Because Ugas got left out too, because he was supposed to be the next in line to face Errol Spence.
I think Porter wants kind of a tune-up too. I don't think he wants a tough fight.
That's all he fights is tune-ups.
I was listening to him.
Formiga? Didn't he fight Formiga last?
Formella or something? Yeah.
Whatever it was, yeah. I mean, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I think it makes sense for him to fight Crawford. Because think about this.
It's the best fight can be made right now for either one of them.
you don't fight Ugas, who are you going to fight? There's two fights for Crawford. There's two fights for Porter. Ugas or Crawford, in my opinion.
Yeah.
What other fight makes sense?
Tony Ayo says, this is a really good point, too. Why does Aram need foreign Saudi investment to make the PAC fight while Heyman doesn't? That was the other, you know, that was kind of my thing, you know, when they made this fight and they put it in Las Vegas. Well, what? I don't understand. Why couldn't you do that?
I don't know.
Why couldn't you do that? I mean, it was right there in front of you. Why did Pacquiao accept this deal and he didn't accept your deal?
I'm guessing Heyman may have convinced, may have gotten some investors, or he may have called up Fox for an advance or something. I don't know. Heyman's got a way of getting money out of people, more so than Bob. Heyman seems to be a very good negotiator.
Yeah. Notorious PC says, what about Porter and Jaron Ennis? I like that.
Yeah.
I'm not hating that.
I like that fight.
Errol Spence, of course, Errol Spence, Manny Pacquiao is now official for August 21st in Las Vegas. This fight just completely came out of left field, no?
It did. It most certainly did. I did not. I made a statement that I didn't think Manny Pacquiao would fight Crawford or Errol Spence, and boy, was I wrong on this one.
I'll tell you what, man. Listen, you got to have a lot of respect. How about that Manny Pacquiao is fighting Errol Spence at this stage of his career? He's fighting Errol Spence. Floyd Mayweather is fighting Logan Paul, a guy with no professional wins and two professional fights against YouTubers.
Yeah, it's nuts.
How crazy is that?
42 years old, too.
How old is Pac? 43 or 42?
42.
And how old is Mayweather? 44? 43?
44. 2 years older.
What in the world, man? What are we looking at here, Beeb?
Nuts.
Listen, man. I give Manny all the props in the world, man. I give him all the props in the world for taking this fight. That being said, he's going to get laid out. Spence is going to annihilate him.
You think he's going to knock him out?
Yeah.
Here's my take on it. I think Spence is going to fight him like he fought Mikey Garcia, and I think it's going to go the distance. But I think Spence is going to win the fight like 116 or 112.
I think Spence is going to wash him. I think Spence is going to dog walk him all over that.
I think Spence is going to show him respect, and he may not even try and knock him out. As crazy as that may sound.
Nah, he's going to get him out of there.
Yeah,
the biggest fight of Spence's career.
A lot of people thought he would stop Garcia. A lot of people thought he would stop Porter.
I thought he would stop Porter. I thought for sure he was going to stop Porter. Porter put on a really good fight.
But again, Pacquiao's older. He's been off for 2 years. It's a different animal altogether. I'm going to say it goes the distance, but it shouldn't be shocking if he does stop him. Let's just put it that way.
Alex Fresco says, and if Manny turns back the clock and beats Spence, is he a top five all-time great?
I'll say top 10.
I'll say top two. If he comes back and beats Spence, one of the top pound-for-pound guys, he's got to be one of the best ever, right? He's got to at least be in that conversation. Yeah. I mean, who would we take better than him then at that point? I mean, really.
Yeah, I mean, people love to throw Sugar Ray Robinson's name around. And again, there's no disrespect to him, but
Sugar Ray Robinson could not last in this era, man.
They don't understand, like, when Sugar Ray Robinson was the titleist at middleweight, he would fight so many non-title bouts in between against guys who had, like, 30 losses and stuff.
Yeah.
So people don't understand the era back then. It's like, oh, well, they fought so much. Yeah, but they weren't fighting the iron. They had non-title fights in between, just like when Chavez senior,
yeah, he would go back
used to go
to
go to Mexico and have those things. So, and also, you know, he moved up. He was a welterweight, Sugar Ray Robinson, but he moved up to middleweight very, very quickly in his career. He fought a great portion of his career at middleweight, even though he was a welterweight titleist. So he spent more time at middleweight. And because people say, oh, he got all his losses at middleweight. Yeah, because that's where he spent the most of his time, is at middleweight.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, to me, I mean, you got to ask who's better at that point. I mean, if he comes back and beats Errol Spence, who everybody knows Errol Spence, it's Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford, and then there's everybody else. If he comes back and beats Errol Spence, I mean.
Could I put him in top five all-time great? It's hard for me to say because I don't do that pound-for-pound thing.
I get it.
It's too subjective. It's just too subjective. But Pacquiao would definitely be in the conversation. You could argue, too, that Pacquiao, his accomplishments would probably surpass Mayweather's accomplishments, possibly.
I mean, don't they? Do they already?
You can argue that as well.
I could argue that. Absolutely argue that. I could argue that he's got a better we could argue that he has a better resume. I don't know.
Well, here's the thing, too, because people say, well, how could you say that? Because Mayweather beat Pacquiao. But let me ask you a question. I'm curious to hear your answer on this one. So Tommy Hearns knocked out Roberto Duran.
Yeah.
In two rounds.
Two rounds.
But Roberto, would it be a fair argument or a fair assessment to say that Roberto Duran would go down in history as a better fighter than Tommy Hearns?
Sure.
Yeah, because he's
absolutely.
People, even though, just because you lose to somebody, it doesn't mean that your accomplishments don't surpass that person that beat you.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Look what he did in the lightweight division. You know what I mean? Look what he did in lightweights. He won titles. He fought well in them with decades.
Look what he did at 37 years old, beating much larger Iran Barkley, yes.
Yeah. You know, listen, man, the guy is good. You know, and that's to take nothing away from Thomas Hearns. It's just there's, if you look at bodies of work. And
Pacquiao did turn pro at a much lighter weight than Floyd did.
And I think, what's hurting Floyd right now are these fights, the fights against Tyson, the fights against Logan Paul.
Even though people think that they shouldn't. And
they do.
They do.
They absolutely do.
They do.
You know, I mean, if this was Mayweather – I'll give an example. Could Mayweather – who do you think is going to do better against Errol Spence? Would Mayweather be better or would Pacquiao – you know what I mean? I think Pacquiao would give him a better fight overall. I think Mayweather would get – I think they both get stopped. But
well, Mayweather walked away, Pacquiao – well, I guess you could say Pacquiao walked away too for 2 years.
Yeah.
But Mayweather walked away for about 4 years.
But, Pacquiao has always fought like – guys that are dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, Adrian Broner is a dangerous guy because he's young. You know what I mean? He was a young guy. What's that guy from Horn, Jeff Horn? He goes to he goes to Australia to fight him.
Yes.
You know, I mean, look, man, Thurman, Mafongo just says Broner, Thurman, Spence, Mayweather. Broner, Thurman, and Spence, Mayweather's fighting McGregor, Tenshin, and Logan. All with zero wins professionally. Professional boxing. All of them have zero wins.
It's kind of
it's embarrassing.
But I was talking to someone else about this today, and like the whole Jake Paul thing, I look at that as WWE, right?
Yes.
I don't categorize that the same way I would categorize regular boxing.
Yeah.
But Floyd is a regular boxer.
Right.
And he's going into that realm. So I try to differentiate the sports entertainment with – real sports, right? Like boxing is a real sport. All that thriller stuff is sports entertainment.
Yeah.
But you're taking someone from the realm of real boxing and putting him into that WWE. And it just doesn't fit. Like Eddie Hearn said the same thing. It's like, it's okay if YouTubers fight other YouTubers, but Mayweather should not be fighting YouTubers. So
no.
You can buy whatever you want. I'm not telling people what to like, but it doesn't make Mayweather look good at all. And I agree with you 100% that whether it's fair or not and whether it should or not, in a lot of people's eyes, it is going to take away from his legacy.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't disagree with that.
Maul says that Broner was never dangerous, never ever dangerous at 147. I'll tell you what.
He's more dangerous than McGregor.
He's more dangerous, right. He's more dangerous than McGregor. And I'll tell you what, get in the ring with Broner, take one of his shots, you tell me he's not dangerous.
Remember that tweet I showed you the other day when a fan goes, Tank's power ain't all that.
Right, when was the last time you fought Tank?
And then Leonard Elby tweets out, just curious, but when have you ever been in the ring with Tank? When did you ever feel his power?
When did you ever take that shot? Yeah.
That was the best comeback of all time.
Right. Listen, man, look, Everybody says that Chris Algieri's not a big puncher or whatever. Tell you what, lace him up and let him hit you a couple of times, you know, and just get hit in sparring.
Get in a street fight with him.
Yeah.
Walk up to Chris Algieri at a bar and just freaking tip his drink over. See what he does to you. Freaking light you up.
Listen.
Fold you up and throw you in the corner.
Put the headgear, put the gloves on, and take a couple of shots for me. And let me know how he sucks. You know,
everybody's a tough guy behind this keyboard.
Everybody. Right? Everybody. And the people that say this, like the people, the funny part is like all the guys who say this stuff have never boxed before. They've never been in the ring. They've never sparred before. They've never sparred with any kind of regularity before. It's a different thing. It's a different thing, man.
These guys struggle boxing on Sony PlayStation. That's how wet they are.
I did it on PlayStation. It can't be that difficult, you know. I won the title. Oh, my God. Jake Paul, speaking of the Paul brothers, Jake Paul signs a Showtime deal. His next fight will be on Showtime. The two parties signed the deal. Now, I'm not sure how much the deal is worth. I don't think that came out, but I don't know if it did or it didn't. I don't know. But this is a huge move for Jake Paul and kind of a step. Listen, this shows you where boxing is right now. And everybody's complaining about the Paul brothers. Everybody's complaining about Logan and Jake and everything like that. Gotcha hat. Everybody's complaining about all of this. Right?
Gotcha hat.
Everybody's complaining about all of this and the Triller movement and everything like that. Listen, it's real simple. If you put good fights on and the best were fighting the best, we wouldn't even have this right now. Guaranteed. Guaranteed.
We would not have this.
Guaranteed, man.
I agree.
You know, so what do you, you know, I mean, that's it. 602, you're live.
Hey, what's up, fellas? It's Brandon from Phoenix, man. I didn't think you guys would get to me so quick.
Absolutely, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Yeah, go ahead and feed me, baby.
Good.
Yeah, man, I just wanted to call in real quick, man, and just say, man, it was a great fight. You know, just an excellent
fight last night.
You know, I thought that, you know, I watched the first half of the fight without the volume on because I was on a phone call, but, you know, it had my full attention outside of the call. And I thought it was really close up until the knockdowns. And I actually thought that Ramirez outworked him in a lot of those later rounds, and I don't think that the commentary team was giving him quite the credit he deserved. Here, put that down. Turn down your system sound. You know, so I thought it was really close. I still thought that Taylor won the fight. It was a great performance. I don't know how Ramirez got up from that second uppercut. I thought Bayless did a little bit of a shabby job. I think he gave him a little bit too much time, and I think probably on the second knockdown. But, you know, overall, I don't want to, you know, complain too much. As a boxing fan, man, this is the best you can ask for. You know, one versus two, undisputed champion. And it's just like you were saying, Eric, if boxing had more nights like last night, this Jake Paul thing wouldn't be a thing, you know. So I appreciate you guys letting me speak my mind real quick.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much for calling in, man. We appreciate it. All right, let's see. Is this Chandler M? Chandler M, I guess, wanted us to stop the show so we can get to him. Let's just stop all the talk and everything like that. Let's just
drop everything, man.
Let's just go to Chandler real quick.
Drop everything we're doing.
Don't worry about anybody. Yeah. I'm not busy or anything like that. What am I going to do? Yeah, let's just
talk
to him.
Everybody stop talking. Chandler M is... Chandler M is on the line.
Yo,
515, you're live.
Not on.
Fuck, I don't know. Yesterday's fight.
Good evening, Your Highness.
put some respect on it. Put some respect on it. But yesterday's fight, I thought it was close. I see why they gave it to Taylor. I did not like Bayless in the fight. I thought he was stepping in too much. And no matter what you guys say, I think that first knockdown, it was a little pushy. It was a little pushy.
Do you agree with Nacho that you're wishing Kenny Bayless dead?
No. I mean, usually I like Kenny
Bayless.
Yeah,
think about it too.
Wow.
What's wrong with these people?
Wow.
What is wrong with these people?
No, I think Bayless is a human being.
He's an accessory to the crime. Go ahead.
But I don't know. I just thought last night he had an off night. I definitely give the win to Taylor, but I don't think Taylor's ready for any bigger fight than that. I mean, he was getting caught too much. He was getting hit to the body. He seemed like he was slowing down. I don't like him against Eric's fucking boy, Tio. I think Teofimo Lopez would knock him out. And if he moves up and fights that bum resume Crawford, I think Crawford would knock him out, too.
Friend of the show. Hey, let me ask you a question, man. Are you just trolling, or you really think Kambosos is going to beat Tio?
No, I really do think Kambosos will beat Tio.
This is amazing.
I thought he was a trolling man because I was like, yeah, I'm not going to make him take. Now I'm going to make him take the bet. Now he's going to be forced to take that pie. Every week he's on there talking about Eric's going to take an apple pie, blah, blah, blah. Son, you really think he ain't beating that guy?
No,
come on. What does Kambosos do that impressed you so much?
Well, for one, he's been Manny Pacquiao's sparring partner for the last, like, 7 years.
How old is Manny Pacquiao?
He's constantly in the gym working. What I don't like about Teofimo Lopez is, besides outside this, he got fat, and his dad being his trainer is the biggest hinder to his career. I do not like his dad as his trainer.
Why are you trying to break up a family relationship,
man?
What's wrong? He's supposed to do on the street.
Lomachenko convincingly. I don't think he beat Lomachenko convincingly.
You gave the fight to Lomachenko?
No, I scored it a draw, but I do not think he won that fight.
Wow. Could you make a case for Lomachenko winning that fight?
No, I couldn't. That's why I said it's a draw. I thought it was a 6-6 fucking draw.
Yeah.
But
I'm done arguing with that. it gives me a headache even thinking about that fight at this point.
Hey, Chandler, man, get that pie ready. He's gonna take it like pie
out. But what
flavor are you gonna get, man?
Oh shit. You better be getting apple pie, ready. That's what I think.
You're getting apple pie?
Speaking of fights, what do you guys think about next weekend, Davis versus Marios? Because that's like a 50-50 fight to me.
When is that happening? This is 2 weeks, right? In 2 weeks it's happening, or when is that happening?
Next weekend.
Nah, let me see. Let me pull that up here. I think it's in a couple of weeks. It's not next weekend. Next weekend we got Devin Haney.
You know what's crazy, Eric, is Barrios is taller, but I don't think he's really bigger frame-wise.
I think, listen, man, they're not going to put Tank in any kind of jeopardy.
Yeah, I mean, Tank is pretty thick, you know.
He's a big guy. Yeah, Tank's a big guy. I mean, Barrios is taller. He may be a little stronger because he's taller.
Because somebody's taller doesn't mean they're bigger framed and thicker, have more dense.
Typically, have you noticed that, though? Like, people that are taller are stronger. When you box them or whatever, they always seem to they punch them down and stuff like that. But even in the clinch, they always seem to
Because of leverage. Because of leverage. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah, I got you.
When is he fighting?
I don't know. I think it's going to be good.
I don't see it on the schedule here. June 26th. Yeah, June 26th he's fighting. So he's fighting next month. I think Tank washes him. I think Tank beats him.
Yeah.
And it's only for a regular title, too. Why didn't they put him, you know... I don't know. I don't think it's a it's an all right fight. I'll probably pay for it because I'm a degenerate. But I think Tank wins that fight. You think you like taking that fight?
Yeah. I'm not taking Barrios.
It's 50-50 for me.
Even my crazy ass ain't doing that one. Yeah, I'm not taking the underdog down that one.
No, I just don't know if Tank will make weight, man. He struggles making weight.
It's
140. Wouldn't it be embarrassing if he moved to 140 and missed weight?
Tank fought at 130 in his last fight. He made the weight, so we got to give him the benefit of the doubt.
He totally made the weight. I didn't think he was going to make the weight.
He made it comfortably, too, and he looked good in the fight.
He looked good in the fight.
So
that was a good fight, too. That was a really good fight.
I think we can stop saying that. You can say it if you want. I'm gonna give Tank the benefit of the doubt from here on out. I'm not going to accuse him or suspect.
I think your guys' Wilder Fury 3 is going to be phenomenal because all those fucking Dante, Boxing Nation, all those fucking bums are going to come out of the woodworks to support their boy.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Wilder's got a lot of fans and stuff like that. I don't think it's enough fans to fill up an arena, I'll tell you that. He can't even sell out his hometown.
Whoa!
He can't. Remember when he went back? Listen, I'm going to tell you like this. Listen.
He's a friend of the show.
I know he's a friend of the show. I'm just saying.
Well, what if he wasn't a friend of the show? What would you say about him then?
You could only imagine. All right.
He's a friend of the show, and you're talking about him like this. What if he wasn't a friend of the show? What would you do?
I'm just stating facts. When he went to Alabama, he didn't sell it out over there. And if he was selling out his hometown, and if he was selling out his hometown like Crawford was selling out his hometown, he'd be fighting here every week.
Yeah, but he can sell Vegas. I mean, Fury sold out Vegas the second fight.
Oh,
you got to give him credit for that.
If for some reason Wilder does beat Fury, do you think he'd go on to fight Anthony Joshua? Because I still think at this point Wilder could beat Joshua just because I don't like Joshua's style. I think he's got a questionable chin. If Andrew Ruiz hurts him, I think sooner or later Wilder will. But I still think out of all those top three guys, Fury is the man.
Yeah,
I like Fury. I like Fury the best myself as well.
That interview, with John, was it John Fury that you sent me earlier?
Yeah, it was very, very
that
interesting.
That was a really good interview, and he talked about Wilder. He said,
Peter Fury.
Yeah,
that's fine. Yeah.
And he talked about Wilder, and he says, we're going to do the same thing. He said he can't fight off his back foot. He says nothing's changed. He said he cannot fight off his back foot. It was 100% right.
Yeah.
100% right. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm more interested to see the costume that Wilder wears when he comes in. Is he just going to wear a regular robe, or is he going to put on that 100-pound suit?
Mike Tyson is down there because he's going to have no excuses this time.
Wouldn't that be great if he just came out in a towel? Like Mike Tyson style, he had trunks, towel, that's it.
That's bananas.
Crazy.
I don't know. There's some good fighting out there. I wouldn't doubt seeing Pacquiao at fence. Now, do I think it's going to happen? No, but part of me wants to see it just because, I don't know, have Pacquiao.
I think everybody wants to see it. I think everybody wants to see it. I mean, I would pay to see him upset him. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I would love to see that fight. I would love to see him upset Spence.
Well,
man, we're a long way from Hollywood, man.
How embarrassing would that be for Bud Crawford, though? Bud Crawford would be
How embarrassing for Bob Arum. He couldn't make that fight. That's your boy, Beat. That's
Bob
your boy, son.
Bob's heart's just not in it anymore, man.
Ain't in it.
He's not in it.
Ain't in it, man.
I don't get it, man.
Yeah, he's got to cross over to the PBC. He does.
He's got to do something.
Crawford's just sitting there wasting away.
Yeah, he absolutely cannot stay there. That's clearly evident. He cannot stay there.
Yeah, that's awful.
There's no way.
What's he like, 36 years old?
33. I think he's 33.
No, he's going to be 34 in September.
Yeah.
September's his birthday. He's going to be 34.
Yeah, happy birthday, son.
34 years old. He has not beat a champion. You say a bunch of former champions, but what current champion has he beat? None.
Julius Ndongo. He unified the belts. What are you talking about? He unified the belts, son.
When?
Julius Ndongo.
Yeah, what a fighter.
Go box record. I don't know when. What am I, savant like Robert? He can give you the date. Get Al Robbie on the phone. He can give you the time and date and everything like that. He can time stamp it for you.
I ain't doing that garbage, man.
All right, Chandler, we're going to get running, man. Hey, make it a Boston cream pie so it just slides down your face. You know what I'm saying? So when it hits your face, it just slides down.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny, bro.
I'm telling you what, he's gonna pound that. Teal's gonna pound that dude. I think he stops him. You know what's surprising on a final note here. You know what's surprising? He's the main event on that Triller card, and I think it's like $60. It's a 4-hour pay-per-view from what I was reading today. But he's the main event. Badu Jack is the co-main. Badu Jack and Pascal is the co-main on that fight.
Yeah,
it's not a bad card. It's not a bad card. I mean, I'll pay to watch it because, you know, I don't really like the Triller cards. I don't like the whole music thing.
I don't like that either. I'm not crazy about that either.
But I tell you what, man, he's the headliner, and they paid $6 million for that fight. I don't know that they're going to get $6 million back out of it. I don't know. They're going to have to really put some promotion on it. I mean, it's his money. He's going to get it, so it's guaranteed. I mean, it doesn't really matter, but this may be one of those ones where, you know, maybe they take a bath, maybe they don't. I don't know. What are you going to do, Bede?
Be interesting.
From Boston.
There you go. All right, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1. Find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. And you can find me on Twitter at ringside73. And we will see you guys next week.